it, man.
Yeah, they had us the first half. I'm not gonna lie.
Talk to me, Wayne.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh.
Woo-hoo! I love it, baby.
Them orange britches. Something about them orange britches.
Ball hit high in the air into right field, going back to Sayre, and Tennessee can say hello win column. A grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. You can't draw it up any better.
We just won a basketball game, and we're very happy right now.
Bruce McGrath for the win. He got it.
If you don't like college football, and you watch this one, I'm not sure what your problem is.
Reddit did to do, and welcome into More Important Issues. It is Sunday, March 31st. Tennessee basketball's run has finally come to an end. Good. It was a fun March. Was hoping for it to be a fun April. All good things that can't last. It is what it is. It was a great season. You finished SEC regular season champions. You had a great run to the Elite Eight. Just fell short of a Final Four. First Final Four appearance in school history. Can't say enough about how much this team has just loved them. Like, this has been so much fun to watch. Hate that it happened the way it happened. Sucks. I don't know.
Yeah, sports hurt.
Yeah.
And it sucks at the end of it. Like, it's only one team, their season doesn't end in heartbreak. And it just sucks because, like, going into this game, you kind of knew what was going to happen with the whole Zach Edey thing. And it just sucks that there was really nothing you could do about it other than not make a couple more shots, I guess. Just hurt.
And I think that's what, for me, what really stings is you see a guy go for 40, and that's always tough, but you played the team well enough that if you just knock down some shots, you win, and that's it. And that really sucks. It's hard when momentum gets killed out of nowhere and stuff. And it was tough for everyone. And then you get Awaka, who eventually fouls out. You do get a big day from a freshman, and then JP Estrella, who played as good as he could. And it stinks. And I'm not going to pretend that Zach Edey doesn't get a favorable whistle, both in the non-calls and the calls he gets. The guy gets fouled. The guy's a good – I think this is the most egregious part. He's a good basketball player. Yeah, his height benefits him a lot, but he's a good basketball player. He works the post really well. He uses the size to his advantage, as he should. And rather than just letting it be a basketball game, the refs feel the need to usher it in and make sure that he isn't challenged harder, which is frustrating. You saw it early on with wasn't even Edey, it was Kaufman. Mm-hmm. Goes in and gets real physical. He's banging around, shoulder down, gets a soft whistle. I don't mind the way Zach Edey plays. He's physical. But when you're physical, you invite physical play in. And I think it's fair. I think it's good basketball. But you got to let it play out on both sides if you're going to let it be physical. And I'm all game with that. That would have been if he goes in and he out physicals you for 40 minutes, by all means, let it be. I think that's the most egregious part. Let the boys play.
Yeah. I just think, like, yes, his height definitely benefits him. I just don't know why that helps him with foul calls. I can't.
No, I'm talking about the way he plays. Like, that does make him a good basketball player, but outside of that, he's just a good basketball player.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about what you said. I'm just talking about, like, him in general. Like, why in the world do we help out a guy that's 7'4"? He doesn't need any help. Like you said, he's a good basketball player. Why are we blowing the whistle every time somebody sneezes on him? I mean, Awaka is trying to get – he's, like, behind him. Another thing, why is Zach Edey, the only thing he does for 40 minutes is put his ass on another guy? For like, that's not fun basketball. Like, nothing about that game was fun.
No, it really, really wasn't. I mean, there are times, you know, they make good plays. That dish from Braden Smith into him when JP Estrella had to crash, like, that was fun basketball. You got about 30 seconds of it, and that was it.
Yeah, but it's just getting the – it's how far can we pass it around the perimeter to get it to Zach Edey? And then if he's a little too far from the block, then he passes it back out and then just digs down further and gets the ball again. I mean, the whole 40 minutes was him with his butt on another person and him shooting free throws. That's all we watched the entire 40 minutes of that basketball game. And it was not fun at all.
Talking about how he backs guys down, that's another frustrating part. He doesn't have a right to that space. That's just, you know, physicality. Can you back down a guy in the low post? The problem is if he goes in with that shoulder, or he goes in with that, you know, where he stands up on you, if our guys fall, and I'm not saying that gets called all the time, but you see it get called fairly often where guys go, they make an illegal move, they're taking space that they are not owed, and that's an offensive foul. I would have liked to see our guys try to get it one time. I don't think it gets called. But I would have liked to see our guys, similar to what Edey did there with the Waka in the first half, make the ref think about blowing his whistle.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's – but the problem is another issue with that, I should say, is that's just not how you play the game, flopping around. And unfortunately –
that wasn't just Zach Edey, but all of Purdue was doing that.
Unfortunately, you have that with Creighton. And I think that's, you know, we talk about how we want to see physical basketball and all this. And these guys come in, they know Tennessee plays physical, and they go in one darn foul. You have that creepy youth pastor that pointing at his throat. His throat didn't even get hit. And he wants a review for a flagrant. No, yeah. I can't believe they honored it. That really, there's no reason to look at it other than trusting the word of that guy. That's, in my opinion, that's technical. Mm-hmm. You go to the monitor, you didn't get touched where you're holding. That's a technical foul. Yeah. You don't get to challenge something and be completely wrong. So there was a clear way that teams saw to attack Tennessee this weekend, and that was make the refs blow their whistle. You hit the deck, you hit the deck hard. And that was a frustrating thing to see. And, I mean, I'll give Edey that credit, at least, unlike the rest of his teammates. Outside of that one Awaka one, he wasn't at least just flailing around.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see, like, them go to the NBA where flopping it's a foul.
Well, and that's another thing. Last year it was a point of emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
This year it's still a foul, but they didn't even consider calling it one time. Braden Smith, every time he goes around a screen, he lifts his head up like he's getting hit. Mm-hmm. Our guys, Don Connect's getting grabbed every time. He's not flailing going around a screen.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I do wish sometimes that we would sell things a little bit better.
Absolutely. I do because that's how you get the whistle blown. And thankfully they called off that BS on lawyer that Ronnie Felch just mentioned too. That did ZZ foul him a little bit? Maybe. Was it soft as hell and didn't deserve a whistle? 100%.
Mm-hmm.
It was – that's not basketball. It's not. And Tennessee playing hard physical basketball, everyone that wants to cry about it, if your team did, you'd have some pride about you. But instead, you want to cry for a whistle. You have no pride. None. And I think that's the hard part about today is I'm not saying Edey never got fouled. He just didn't get fouled as many times as he would like for you to believe.
Right.
It was, you know, it thought Tennessee that they didn't attack him enough and draw – I was going to say, it is a little bit on Tennessee that they didn't attack him enough and make him attempt to make plays and foul, but also he's not getting called for fouls under the rim. On rebounds, Jordan Gainey in the second half drives to the basket, gets it over Edey. He comes down hard on him, nothing. So it wasn't that he didn't have the opportunity to foul. He did.
Well, every long rebound that they got was Zach Edey over the back tipping it out to somebody, because no one else on that team is going to go get a rebound. They're all standing on the perimeter waiting to get it to Zach Edey. So the only way those guys got rebounds is because Zach Edey's going over the back of somebody tipping it out. But he's 7'4", so we can't call a foul. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, call it a foul should be a foul no matter how tall you are. Zakai doesn't benefit at all from a whistle, and he's 5'9". He should benefit more than anybody.
Right, and the foul on Awaka that they would have for you to believe was over the back, he wasn't in position to make the play. You don't get over the back just because a guy does go over. You have to have position on someone to get an over the back call.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have position on him. He beat him to a ball. Going back into what you said, he's 7'4", so he has the reach to get there, and they call it a foul. It's not a foul. He doesn't have position.
Yeah, I would like to see what this game looks like if Tobe Awaka is not in foul trouble. I feel like it's a lot different.
Yeah, and certainly earned some of them. Like you mentioned, the one hands in the back there. Why is that not called on the other end? Yeah. Edie's every time Tobe got position on him was showing hand to ball, he'd get hook and held, not a call. Dalton Connect was getting hook and held on several rebounds. That's not even Edie. That's just Purdue. And I think that's another frustrating too, is I felt like these officials let them play for a minute and then they felt like they had to really rein it back in real quick and get some cheap ones. And that's frustrating. If you're gonna let them play, let them play.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like you jumped up to a big lead there in the first half and, couldn't keep that momentum going because there were so many fouls at that point. It's like, okay, Purdue's like, okay, we're not hitting threes. Let's just get into Zach Edey and get to the free throw line. Get Tennessee in foul trouble, get them off their game, and it worked.
Yep. And that goes into Tennessee just – they failed to hit shots when they really, really had to. They had good looks.
Many open shots from Adu.
Dalton Connect, what – nobody was hitting from 15 feet. Dalton Connect couldn't. Josiah Jordan James, who was good from three today. He's 2 for 2, 8 points. He hit one shot from 15 feet. That's it. They gave you the 15 footers and you failed to hit them. You hit those, you hit a few of those, it's your game. So at the end of the day, it was an incredibly frustrating game to watch. Tennessee had their chances. This Purdue team, the 3 from 15 from three. It's not their normal night. I knew, and that's another frustrating part. I thought that's how they'd beat us. They start out like 0 for 9, 0 for 8, something like that. I was thinking Tennessee has got to be better offensively because Purdue's going to eventually hit theirs. But they did what you said. They decided to abandon that completely and try to win it at the free throw stripe. And they got 33 chances to do so. They shot 63% from the free throw line. You shouldn't. You know, you get 33 chances and you shoot 63%. You probably shouldn't win a ball game, but they were able to outlast Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm more so frustrated with the way this game was called because it was two good teams. It was two great teams. Purdue's a good basketball team, but they don't give the chance for the game to really be anything because they're easy on the whistle. And it's not a good product. Thankfully, this is Zach Edey's last year. Because I couldn't take another year of this.
I mean, it's just ruined college basketball. It's not, again, it's just not fun to watch any game that he's in, not just against Tennessee, any game that he plays in. You're just like, good God, can we move on?
Well, we're acting like this is the first big man to be a really good college basketball player. Yeah. I don't know what these so-called college basketball experts have not witnessed over the history of the game, but Zach Edey's not the first big man to be a good basketball player. He's just the first one to get an egregiously good whistle.
Mm-hmm.
Every big man before him has had to play with foul trouble almost all the time.
Yeah, and he plays 39 minutes. I mean, not a lot of big men can play 39 minutes, but I just think this was matchup-wise, it was probably – I mean, it is your toughest matchup-wise because – if you do have a weakness on this basketball team, it was, a dominant post. In Tennessee's post and Adu just did not show up. I mean, no showed. I hate to say that, but he did. And, I think it definitely cost Tennessee probably a chance at the Final Four.
Yeah. And
not him in particular, but that was a huge reason. Like, you needed him to show up to beat Purdue.
Right. And see a shot go in early for him would have been nice. We knew he wasn't going to be going into this game. We 100% knew he was not going to play 30 minutes of this game against Zach Edey. We knew it was going to be a team effort. Thought it was going to be him and Awaka, not Awaka and Estrella. But we needed Jonas Adu to be able to hit his shots when he came in, and he was 0 for 4. And just never going to be enough. You needed him to be something on offense, and he wasn't that. Doesn't get to the free throw line a single time. Would have loved to see him attack Edie and make him make plays. You really only went at him a handful of times, and it wasn't enough. And I'm not entirely blaming them. I'm not going at him enough because I know those fouls don't get called anyways. So yeah,
one foul. And he had to shove Josiah Jordan James into the first row to get a foul call.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sucks because this was a great season, a great basketball team. Obviously, you have a unanimous All-American in Dalton Knecht who just made this season so much fun. And it just sucks that it had to end the way it – if I thought Tennessee, if they were going to lose a basketball game, is because they went ice cold and couldn't make anything. And then I guess the other alternative is you go against Zach Edey.
Yeah, and I think there's another alternative too. If you somehow win this game, you run into the buzzsaw that is DJ Burns. And that's my one hope, is that it would crush me more if it's DJ Burns that does it, because he was in orange at one point. But if DJ Burns, that's a very, very strong, talented, physical guy. If there's anyone that's going to give Zach Edey the business, it might be DJ Burns.
Yeah, I'm in for it. I do want to say this about Purdue is, what the hell are they going to do next year?
Good question.
I mean, are they just – they're just going to be absolutely lost.
They have to have another seven-footer. They have for a century now. Now, is he going to get the calls that Zach Edey does? No, but they have to have another one. They always do when we play him. Zach Edey's frustrating. The most frustrating, every time he misses a shot, he turns around to the official and throws his hands up. I got fouled if I missed it. Come on, guys. We talked about this before the game. Braden Smith is the poster child, in my opinion, of this team, of being just trash crybabies. He's shoving someone every chance he gets. Two arms, going around screens. He's popping to the top. He's got two hands on, pushing off. He only got whistled for two fouls, Landon. And he cried about every single one that he didn't commit. He was very frustrating to watch.
Yeah, Fletcher Warrior was another one. I'm cheering for anybody.
I'm way besides, more Craig, by the way.
Besides Purdue and Alabama.
Yeah.
Somebody, UConn, NC State, one of you two win it, please.
Yeah. I was mad about Texas and blanking on his name now. Throwing players and getting flagrant ones every chance he can get. Brock Cunningham. But respected Texas. They did not cry like the last two teams we played in the tournament. Mm-hmm. Just a bunch of white guys that go out there and think they get a call because they're there. Play hard-nosed basketball. You're in Division I college basketball. Quit looking at the ref for everything. Why do you want the game to be dictated by a ref? Is it fun for you? You talk about a fun brand of basketball. It ain't fun to play. And fun to watch. Quit everything, dude. Like Creighton, every time they committed a foul, it wasn't a foul. If you ask Creighton and Purdue how many fouls they committed, Landon, you know what the answer would be?
None.
Zero. Zero. They didn't commit a single foul. I hate both those teams. And some people were talking about respect for Greg McDermott. No. No respect for him. I saw him cry on the sideline. I have no respect for him.
Did you see Zach Edey's presser after the game?
Yes, and I'll let you tell it, but I at least thought he got a question asked about it. I did not realize the kind of tangent he went on. Trash. Garbage. Don't know what that had to do with it, bud. Did you see the context of it?
Yes. Well, I was trying to look at the exact question.
Had nothing to do about getting recruited, by the way. I can pull it up real quick. I think it's the last thing I clicked on.
I got it right here. Braden and for Zach, what does it mean? I mean, you gave the net to Coach Keedy. What does it mean to get Coach Painter to the Final Four? He said, it's amazing. I get to pay him back. Like, there were so many coaches that looked over me. Like, you could name a program. I could name a coach that looked over me. Tennessee, Rick Barnes is a great coach, but he was at our practice, looked over me. It's kind of been the story of my life. People have doubted me. People look past me, but can't do that anymore.
What?
Yeah, not even asked. I just had to throw Rick Barnes under the bus. It's like at his practice at IMG Academy, coaches looked over him. He was at IMG Academy. You had Rick Barnes at your practice.
Yeah, and he wasn't recruited. That's fine. Have your little underdog story. You're a national player of the year. I don't know. It's a weird. It's all weird. It, naming Rick Barnes with that question asked, you have a chance just to prop Matt Painter up. You have a chance to thank your coach, and you leave it at that.
Yeah,
that's where you leave it at. Yeah, I thank Matt Painter for all he did for me. But first, let me bash all these coaches and name specifically the one I just beat right here. Even though he's never said anything bad about me, let me say something about him real quick. Forget Matt Painter. Thank him, but forget about him real quick. Let me mention this. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Just trying to – I guess he's just trying to be hated at this point, which I guess credit to them, whatever. Also, I mean, someone said that Purdue was taking on the villain role. No, they're not. Their fans are still acting like it's all okay. They're like, no, you're crazy. He gets fouled that much. He doesn't foul. They're not taking on the villain role. It'd be like, yeah, we know what's happening, and we're still going to go win a national championship doing it. That's the villain role.
Also, like, looked over me. Number one, no one looks over you, you freaking giant. Also, he went to Purdue. He was recruited by Purdue and Baylor. Like, if anybody's going to stand up there and say, I was recruited over, it's Dalton Knecht. Dalton Knecht led the Big Sky in scoring and was named second team all conference. And now he's a unanimous All-American. So I don't want to doubt you. Shut up. You lost to Fairleigh Dickinson. God, I can't see him. I mean, I don't know. It's frustrating to watch him play basketball, but then he like goes and says this. It's like, dude, you're the most hated person in the world right now.
Yeah. I mean, it was clear by the people that had no affiliation to Tennessee that were watching that game today, which was, you know, it was funny. It's still frustrating. You knew what was going to happen coming into this game. Part of that is, you know, that you have to be incredibly physical to play with Edie, but you also knew there were going to be times that you didn't foul him and he got the call. I did not know it was going to be so lopsided of he was going to be able to commit fouls at will. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, you didn't know he was going to shove an elbow to Toby Awaka and then go up for a rebound and get stuffed at by the rim and get a foul called against Josiah Jordan James. You didn't know that was going
to
happen.
He was going to be able to hook and hold as much as he wanted at will, which is a flagrant one by the chance and also reviewable, by the way. Mm-hmm. You can go to the monitor for that. You know who didn't cry to the refs to go to it? Toby Awaka.
Yeah. I don't know. Again, just can't wait for him to be out of college basketball. He's absolutely ruined it. I mean, we've known for years that college officiating is terrible. And then you have Zach Edey, who just makes it 10 times worse. So.
All right.
Yeah, I'm ready to move on. It sucks. Again, fantastic year. I mean, there were a lot of, I guess rightfully so, doubts about this team going into the tournament. And I feel like you put all those to rest because, I mean, I feel like you played a good enough basketball game probably to get to the Final Four. Or have a chance to get to the Final Four and just came up a little bit short.
No, absolutely, man. I mean, all these all these opposing fans, Kentucky fans, they get to be happy and dance on our grave tonight. Good for them. It must suck to not be able to cheer for a team in a tournament. So happy for you all that you got tonight. It's good. You needed it. I know. So it's part of rivalries and part of sports. Have your night, but have your zero Final Fours or whatever, but you get to remember that you got knocked out by an Oakland team that wasn't even good, turns out.
Yeah.
Enjoy. All right.
Also, well, they kind of – Kentucky had kind of a cakewalk. I mean, to the
– Turns out.
Yeah. And just choked it away. Hate that for them. Really do.
In better news, Vols get the they go and get the rubber match versus Georgia, and good friend of the pod, best friend of the pod. It's now been said. Xander, is he the Kingslayer now? The home run Kings can't get one on him.
I don't know. I mean, what a performance! Dog.
Hey, and he gets to send those text messages to friends today. Did you guys see that game? Hey, did you guys happen to – I know there's some good basketball on this afternoon, but y'all happen to catch anything on the SEC Network?
I think that was the trade-off here. I don't know what it is, but Tennessee baseball and Tennessee basketball can't win on the same day.
Yeah, when they won last night, I was already just like, nah, well, it was fun while it lasted, boys.
Yeah. But, yeah, what a response from this baseball team. You know, you got whooped on Friday. Come back winning a shootout yesterday, and then today just absolutely shut down Georgia, who is – I mean, I was at the game on Saturday. Dude, that team can rip it. I mean, every single guy in their lineup can absolutely smoke the baseball. Everything they hit – on a freaking rocket. Also with two outs, it was insane. Everything they hit was a rocket, but it was usually with two strikes. Sorry. It was unbelievable what I was watching. I was like, number one, never pitch to Charlie Condon. Yeah. That's what I was saying yesterday, and today he didn't do anything.
Xander can do whatever he wants. Throw to whoever you want.
Yeah. So yeah, that was awesome to see this weekend. You know, a lot of home runs. Blake Berg ties the career home run record with 40 on Saturday. So hopefully he's able to break. I mean, he will break it here soon.
Probably this week.
I think one of the biggest things with this weekend is you did all this without Billy Amick.
Yeah.
I mean, Friday, you can just kind of – I don't know what the hell that was.
The series was won.
Yeah.
You know, move past that. You don't have to spend too much time on that, thankfully.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think that Georgia team is – they are really good offensively. Pitching-wise, but, yeah, Tennessee hit the baseball. The bottom of the lineup did really well. Tears, Dryling, Burt, Moore. I mean, that was – Dalton Bargo had a big weekend. A lot of those guys. It was fun to see that team just kind of respond. After Friday, I was like, oh, God. And then Saturday, it was we were up 3-0. They score 7 in the third. And you're like, oh, God, here we go again. Wasn't fazed. Got some good outings from Xander, Nate Snead, Kirby. To kind of will you to that series win. So, big win.
Big win. Would have been – today was a little nerve-wracking in terms of this has been the story of the last two series. Was it going to be the story of Alabama or the story of Ole Miss in terms of you bounce back Saturday in a real strong way? What does Sunday look like? And, I mean, this team certainly responded, and it was on the back of Xander Seacrest. Shout out to Xander. All
right. Mm-hmm.
All-time performance.
Yeah. I mean, it was just mowing them down. I think they got Nate Snead warmed up pretty quick. And Xander's like, hold on.
I don't need it.
I got
it. I don't need it. was going to say, he had 5 strikeouts last time I looked. I didn't know how many finished he with. 7. 7 yeah. strikeouts.
Yeah. Also, we are taking credit for that, correct?
100%. 100%. Okay. I did check several times, zoomed in as many as I could. I didn't see MRI written in the picture. Yeah. But man, well, man, another day. Another day.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to text. I need to text him. I will after the show. Tell him congrats and you're welcome.
Tell him I said congrats to him. And tell him I said you're welcome as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, if y'all didn't get to watch that interview that we had Xander on this past week, it is up on YouTube. So go check that full interview out. Just a great time. And it's a long
one. You get into everything.
But yeah, it's worth it.
1,000%.
Make sure also, you if you have out. Any questions, okay. drop those in the chat. We got Carlos in here. He says, hello from Memphis. Welcome.
Howdy.
901.
Look alive.
Look alive.
All right. Well, if you want to, they're going to dive in deeper too on the bat flip. That'll be tomorrow night at 7 p.m. So make sure you tune in, talk a little more about this series, about ball baseball, all the good stuff.
Yeah. You got a good friend to tell us about.
Yeah, guys. I'm going to need it tomorrow. I'm going to be sad. I don't know if I'll go to sleep. I didn't think I'd go to sleep if Tennessee lost at midnight. I can't imagine if they, you know, just happened at 4 o'clock or whatever it was. But guys, Grade A Grounds is the best. The best coffee. B's for Blueberry is my personal favorite. But Grade A Grounds, they are a local coffee roasting company. They're in Kingsport, Tennessee, owned by 2 educators in the Tri-Cities. They make great coffee, but their main goal, guys, is they want to give back to their community. They do that by donating 5% of all sales to Coalition for Kids. Coalition for Kids is a nonprofit in the Tri-Cities area that makes sure that classrooms are stocked with needed supplies for students. So when you buy coffee, one of my favorite parts is you're going to see all these awesome labels made by the students in the area, throughout the direction of their art teachers. So it's great stuff. Good coffee going to a good cause. Shout out to Grade A Grounds. Make sure you go and get yours today.
Do it. Do it. Do
oh my gosh. We're already talking transfer portal. Would you pay more money to pay NIL money to stay or let them walk? I mean, I don't see them leaving. So they just keep it the same, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
I mean, he was a big reason why you got to where you were. I mean, it does suck that, you know, kind of no-showed there today, but.
Really, I mean, even Friday night, it wasn't his weekend, wasn't his tournament.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate.
Yep. But also, like, there's times where matchups calls for a more physical big, and you have that in Tobey. So, you know, today, like, obviously, Adu wasn't getting it done, so Entebbe played a lot better, so you weren't going to go back to Adu.
Right.
And then I did think Estrella had some pretty good minutes in there. I don't know what this team's going to look like next year. That's something that I just wanted to kind of mention real quick. I know we're kind of moving on, but obviously Dalton Connect is a huge part of this basketball team. He will not be here next year. You will have Zakai. Adu will be back. Tobey. You'll have Jordan Ganey, Jamai. I think it has the parts to be a good basketball team. You do need to add some scoring, though.
Yeah, I mean, and you got to go find a dominant scorer. And unfortunately, I think you got to do that in the transfer portal. It doesn't seem you have that on the roster currently. Mm-hmm. That'll be returning. So got to go. And it's hard. Getting a Dalton Connect is not going to. It's not going to happen every year.
Any year.
Yeah, it's much it's pretty rare. But you got to go try to find someone that can score the basketball. If you find someone like Dalton Connect again, awesome. Just probably won't happen.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what they do in the portal. Also, I'm excited to see what Cam Carr gives you.
I mean, that's probably the closest thing you'll get to just a pure score, but I still have questions about that right now.
Yeah. The 1796 says, why does Zach Edey look like Sid from Ice Age It's like human growth hormones. Yeah. He does. He looks like something that I don't like right now. J-Ball says, do you buy into any speculation that Adu may hop in the portal? I mean, I don't know why.
Yeah, that's just because he had one bad game. A few bad games towards the end is the only reason I could see for speculation of that. It would be weird.
Yeah. I mean, especially like he was all conference.
With what we know right now, I cannot imagine that speculation is true.
Yeah. Maybe just because it's Olivier, but I think everybody was kind of like, let's cut ties with Olivier.
Yeah, I think that was a mutually beneficial decision. Beneficial decision.
Because you had guys like Adu and Tobey coming up that you were excited about, and, you know, it was just, yeah, okay. Let's move on. Yeah, I just don't see that with Adu. Number one, if you do lose Adu, I mean, there's a huge question mark on what you have in the post next year. I mean, I know you like what you have with Tobey and Estrella, but I mean, as you saw today, if one of those guys gets in foul trouble, you're kind of scrambling a little bit.
Right.
So. Somebody says Kansas and UNC have been poking around at him. I mean.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they're.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Let them.
Again, as of right now, I don't know how he could believe he's leaving.
Yeah, how would you be unhappy with where you're at? Again, you had a bad game. You were going to have a bad game in a UNC uniform. You would have had a bad game in a Kansas uniform. It didn't matter. You just had a bad game. It is what it is. It happens.
Yep. Very much so. Agreed.
Yeah. All right. Want to get into some segments? Again, if you have any more questions, drop those in, and we will get to those as we move on to segments here. Well, most important?
Most important? Oh, gosh. I don't know. I'm so sad today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man, I don't know. Oh, I don't even know his name now. That kicker for the, I don't know, in the UFL, he had like a 64-yarder twice, actually, because he got iced. That was pretty cool.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Then there's also, speaking of special teams, there's a fake field goal, Brad Wing, LSU punter, who really good at fakes. No big deal. He threw a rule of touchdown pass. That was pretty sick.
Okay. Like that. Didn't Michigan's kicker kick like a 65-yarder? Or was that yesterday?
Yeah. It was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday.
Oh,
against the Battle Hawks.
Was he a Michigan guy? I thought I saw some kind of Michigan kicker.
He actually hasn't played football since he played at Texas State, I think, and then played college soccer.
Oh, okay.
And let me just look up his story. I'm sorry. I'm so sad, guys. I know it's not the best here. I thought it was 64 yards. Jake Bates kicked a 64-yarder with just 3 seconds left to give his Michigan Panthers an 18-16 win over the St. Louis Battlehawks. But yeah, he had a I was trying to find his story real quick. But yeah, he had a played at Texas State, and I think he hadn't even attempted a field goal while he played there when he was a freshman. So he hadn't, or maybe he attempted one field goal. So he hadn't kicked a field goal in like 6 years in games. Yeah. Oh, wait, this isn't the same kid, I don't think. This says, or okay, he was a kickoff specialist at Arkansas. So yeah, he hadn't attempted a field goal since high school. He played at Texas State, kicked a field or didn't get to kick a field goal there. And then I guess was a, they played soccer for Central Arkansas for 2 years. Spent 2 years at Texas State kicking off. None of this is making sense. Regardless, he hasn't taken a field goal since high school. I don't know where he played. Who cares? This
still impressive.
Crazy. Did AI write this? This is all over the place.
Oh. Yeah, somebody's definitely getting flagged when they turn that into their English teacher.
Yeah.
My first one is Trey Lipscomb. VFL.
Yeah.
Getting his chance at the show. First at bat, single. And then stole a base. He was the first rookie to steal a base and have a hit in their major league debut in Washington since the Nationals moved to DC.
That's crazy.
Yep. And then he hit a home run today. In his second,
yeah, game. I think it won some people some big money too if they took it.
I love that.
I can't remember what he was.
I put him down as a hit yesterday just for okay. fun, and got that, so that was cool.
Heck yeah, a couple guys had some, you know, not quite as big of a weekend, but some big weekends. Some homers were hit by former Vols.
Yeah, Andre Lipsius hit two in his first AAA game with the Dodgers. Jordan Beck hit one.
Drew Gilbert hit one. Was that Friday?
Drew Gilbert hit one. Yeah, they all three of those guys hit one in their AAA debut. With love I to guess see it wasn't Andre's AAA debut, but it was with the Dodgers organization. So,
gotcha. Love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. Just call them up. It does suck for the Nationals that Nick Senzel was the guy who got hurt that made Trey Lipscomb get the call up.
That does.
I mean, that's the most Tennessee thing ever, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good for him. Excited to see what he can do. He's playing third. And then when Senzel gets back, I think he's going to compete for the second base job as well. But, yeah, he's batting ninth these last two games against the Reds. One more. I had Stephen F. Austin Baseball hit a walk-off winner against Tarleton State. It was the first win in 23 games. They were on a 23-game losing streak and won on a walk-off. Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love some Lumberjack Baseball.
All right, any fails?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Barstool Kentucky, or just Kentucky fans in general. Well, Barstool Kentucky was like for the SEC and at Alabama. Like, you're cheering for Alabama? Have you no decency?
SEC pride is gross.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Talked about that UNC fan cheering for NC State. It's sickening. And I'd almost say it's okay today if that was the case. But even then, I think you're just rooting for both teams to have a miserable time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, not cheering for Tennessee in the tournament. Like, you want them to lose every game. Sure, I get that. But to go on like have a victory parade that Tennessee lost when you got put out in the first round is – a little strange to me.
It's strange, but it's part of rivalries. You get your cake today, but just remember next year. Just remember it, because hey, if we're going off history, recent history is telling me you ain't making it out of the first weekend.
Yeah, St. Peter's, Oakland, yikes. All right. You got any fails?
I'm sure I do, but it'll probably just start a rant that I don't want to get on. I'm in that kind of mood.
I saw this one video that it said it was Zach Edey, like, after the game, and he's just yelling, "I have a boner."
That's interesting.
Yeah. Especially coming from a guy who rubs his butt on every on other guys for 40 minutes. Kind of strange. Kind of strange.
I hate that man. I hate Purdue. I hate college basketball.
It's a tough one.
I hate it all. That's the fail of the week. Is it's hard to officiate him. It's hard to officiate a big player in basketball. You're not officiating the right sport then. Go officiate tennis. I don't know. Officiate something with not large human beings banging around. It's hard to ref Zach Edey.
Yeah, I mean,
he's slower than everyone. It should be easier.
Yeah, you know where he's going to be at every time on the court. It's not hard. I just don't understand, like, that. The fact that that even comes up says that there's bias toward it. The fact that you're not just – it should just be a normal game. You officiate it how you officiate every game. A foul's a foul.
Correct.
Yeah, that was tough to watch.
And we haven't even begun to talk about – His three second violations, him walking. I haven't even begun to discuss those things.
Yeah.
Terrified of putting the ball on the floor. Good news, he doesn't have to, Landon.
It does stink that Dalton Connect had 37 points, and it's not a huge talking point because Zach Edey got to shoot 22 free throws. 22! He shot 21 shots from the field. He had 43 attempts to make a point. 43. No shit, he had 40 points. I'd have 40 points if I shot the ball 43 times.
I just saw where someone said, why didn't we try to take a charge on him? Josiah Jordan James beat him to a spot today. Should have been a no call, I think, at best, because I don't know if it was a charge. They called a foul on Josiah. there's no point.
Yeah.
It's hard to officiate him, though, so I get it. It's hard. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It's also hard to call balls and strikes, yet people somehow go to work every day and do it.
All right. I don't really have much else.
I don't either. Sorry for a shorter episode, but you don't want to. No one.
Sorry for sadness.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I do have a good friend to tell you about really quick. At least I thought I did. Okay. Yeah, go check out our good friends at Knoxville Tours. It is never too early to think about football season. Tennessee takes on Oklahoma this season in Norman to welcome them to the SEC. Our good friends at Knoxville Tours have a great five-day tour September 19th through the 23rd that takes all the stress off of you when booking and planning an away trip. The trip on the Motor Coach Tour will take you from Tennessee to Oklahoma for the game and some fun stops along the way. The trip will include transportation to and from Oklahoma, four-night hotel accommodations, and a dinner show at Cattleman's. Go cheer on the Vols in the Midwest. They will also be doing tours to Arkansas and Vanderbilt this football season. Give Knoxville Tours a call today at 865-688-6232 and let them know more important issues. See you. Also, go check out our good friends at Roback, ROBACK.com. Use promo code More Important Issues to get 20% off your first purchase. They still have the Tennessee polos, fantastic polo, the best polo I have, best polo Caleb has. Sorry if I'm speaking for you.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
But yeah, they have great quality clothing over there, so go check them out. And don't forget to use that promo code More Important Issues for 20% off your first purchase. Guys, thank y'all for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with a bat flip, talking about Tennessee's win over Georgia, and hopefully a little less sad. We're bringing the boat in, and we out.